Rick, let's begin with the 10th anniversary of the reefing of the Oriskany. There were extremely high hopes for what this reef would do from a research and from an economic standpoint.
Absolutely. A great innovation for our coastal tourism economy and also a great opportunity for research. I know you'll be talking with my colleague Bill Huth in economics, who's done a lot of research on artificial reefs generally and has some good and interesting ideas of what the future might hold for the Oriskany. But, you know, it has been 10 years, and it's a new element in the kind of panoply of resources that await the amenities that await our visitors. And so it's good from that perspective, because the people who come to do artificial reef diving down at, almost 150 feet, that's a fundamentally different group of people than might come to Pensacola for a long weekend and spend that weekend on the beach or in the stores. And so anytime that you can use our area assets, our beautiful beaches, our clean, clear waters, to bring in a new class of visitor doing something different, that's a plus for the economy.
Let's talk about how successful it has been in terms of economic impact. Do you have any specific figures?
Some of the work that's been done, Bill Huth has done a fair amount of it. He calculated that the gain to individual divers, based on how much they spent to come to the area, you can calculate that number. And it's very large, about $700 and some per person per trip to dive the Oriskany. And it's attracting actually a different class of diver than might have been anticipated when it was first reefed. Subsequent weather activity, Hurricane Gustav specifically, the wave action that reached down that far was enough to help the Oriskany settle 10 feet deeper into the sandy bottom, which means that actually it's what's called a technical dive now to go down below the level of the flight deck, because it's right there just shy of 150 feet. And so, of course, that limits the amount of time that a recreational diver could stay down. So, yes, bottom line is that there is impact. It ended up sitting a little deeper in the ocean than we anticipated it might. But, yes, it has a strong economic impact. It's not diverting people from other tourism activities they would do in Pensacola. Instead, it's a new group of folks.
I'd like to take just a moment. You talked about the impact of Gustav. What about the oil spill? How did that impact the tourism draw?
Undoubtedly, negatively. Boats were certainly banned from that region of the Gulf for a period of time following the oil spill. And of course, when there are other amenities around the shores of the nation, who wants to come to an area where you might encounter possibly toxic plumes of dispersant and oil? So undoubtedly an impact. Hopefully that impact has fallen by the wayside. But yes, the oil spill affected Northwest Florida in a profound fashion across sectors that we didn't really have any idea would be affected by the spill.
Do you think, I remember when we spoke back in 2006 as the Oriskany was about to be reefed, and you talked about the amount of research that might take place on this ship, this sunken ship. Do you think that has panned out?
I think that potential is still there. Again, if you get a chance to talk with Bill Huth, he'll talk about some of the reef structures that might be appropriate for the deck of the Oriskany, ones that incorporate scientific monitoring equipment so that we can look in real time with cameras and other sensors at the growth of fish in the water column and what types of fish they are and how they behave, a really neat set of opportunities associated with the Oriskany.
Let's move on now quickly, Rick, to the latest figures from the Labor Department on unemployment benefits.
We're still below the critical 300,000 number of applicants, new applicants for jobless benefits. We did rise 20,000. This week, we're up at 294,000. So not quite as good as it has been. But the thing that's good about the labor market right now, and the previous Friday, we had had the jobs report, 160,000 jobs. You and I had talked last week about how we were expecting a somewhat low number. And in fact, it was. But the good news behind that 160,000 was that hours worked rose by 0.4%. and wages rose by 0.3%. So when you add those two together and convert it into annual terms, it was a really good month in the labor market, actually, because that implies a growth rate of over 8% in wages. And so if we could see upward wage pressure like that, so that middle-class workers could get raises, spend that out there in the economy, that would do a lot to push up aggregate demand in the economy, which has been lagging ever since the start of the recession. So good news in the jobs report. Unemployment report is also good, not quite so good as the jobs report, but still heading in the right direction.
Let's close now with a look at a new poll that shows nearly 60% of Floridians believe the Sunshine State's economy is in good shape.
Florida has been creating jobs at a rapid pace. The most recent 2 months have showed a respite in that job growth. We've had numbers that are below 10,000 in each of the last 2 months. So that's a little bit disappointing. Last year, Florida created about 240,000 new non-farm payroll jobs. It would be reasonable to expect that to fall somewhat as the economy slowed, but the last 2 months are a little bit worrisome, but still, the index of leading economic indicators for the state of Florida doesn't point towards a recession anytime in the near future. But, you know, at the national level, in June, we're going to complete our seventh year out of the recession, and so that's a recession with pretty long legs by historical standards, and so forecasters are starting to talk about the timing of the next economic slowdown for the nation.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait for that. We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.